Welcome to Believer's Chapel, folks. Glad that you are with us this morning. This is our first Sunday morning service, 9 o'clock. We have service Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning 9 and 11. Gang, we're a worship of word church. If you're new to the church, we're simple, man. We keep it real, we keep it simple, and we keep it real simple. God Almighty, God, creator of all things, sent his son Jesus Christ, die on the cross for our sins. Christ is the only way. And for all of that, being God in his majesty and his holiness deserves to be worshipped, praised, honored, adored, deserves to be in the spotlight using the excellence of our worship team and their skill and their music abilities that God has given them to bring him honor and glory. We're a worship church. And then we believe this right here is the absolute truth. It is the word of God, front, back, front, Genesis to Revelation. This is the deal. This is the truth. And it's God's word. Can't add to it, can't take from it. We're worshiping word, church, man. It's that simple. That simple. Well, we are starting a new series this morning. It's called The Walk, What It Takes. Folks, that we would recognize and understand that we, when we come to belief in Christ and we recognize and confess that he is Lord, and in that we surrender our lives, heart, soul, mind, and strength, his, belong to you. I'm in everything. You got me. I'm in. I'm yours. You are supreme, you're authority, you're majestic, you're brilliant, you're radiant, you're excellent. You are the king, and I bow down to you. Folks, that's what it is to confess that he is Lord. Confess means to make an agreement that he, Christ, is all. He is Lord. You submit yourself to him. When you do that, when you come to that belief and truth of what God's word says, you start this amazing journey, and you start this amazing walk. So we're going to start this series, 4 or 5 weeks, I don't know yet, we're working through it. But we're going to talk about the walk and what it takes. We're going to talk about the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Folks, we walk by faith. When you begin to understand the ingredient of faith in your walk, you begin to recognize, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the ingredient, folks, to who we are in Christ. And it's our faith that he is Lord, that he is Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he is my Savior, he is my Redeemer, he is the Son of God, he is God, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we that's faith. Faith is the ingredient, folks, to who we are in him. So we're going to break this thing down, and what is the walk and what it takes. And this morning we kick this thing off with the importance of consistency. The importance of what it is to be consistent in our walk. The importance of what it is to be consistent in our faith. Consistent in our marriages. Consistent in our local church. You know, it is amazing to me that I hear, well, I can have great faith, but I don't need to belong to the local church. Well, that's funny, because most of the New Testament was written to, guess what? Huh? The local church. 1 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? All of this, 1 2 Thessalonians. Guess what? All of those letters were written to a specific local church. Folks, there's so much being consistent in our walk with him. Being consistent at home. Consistent in our work. Consistent in the word. Consistent in our prayer. And we're going to see, we're going to break this down this morning and really see. And we're going to really go over seasons of life, folks. We're going to go over when we get into circumstances, seasons of life, how many people do you and I know that their faith was tested? And they gave up. And they quit. Folks, that just breaks my heart. When we see people who come to church to get something from the God, and then they get what they expected from God, on their best day, they leave church. They leave. You know what? I came because you really hit families and you hit marriage. And man, our marriage is in better condition than ever since we started. You know how many times I've heard that? Our marriage is in better condition than ever since we've been attending Believer's Chapel. It is amazing. And then they leave. Because they got what they wanted from God, their marriage is great, and they leave church altogether. Well, guess what happens? Man, it's like, come on! And then when people go through a hard season and go through the testing of their faith, they go through difficulties. They don't bank on Psalm 46. They didn't go back into the Word of God and say, God, you were always present. This is a serious time in my life. God, I am losing loved one. Cancer or this or that or this situation or a financial deal or this. And it's not working out the way I wanted to. How many people, you know, ditch their faith because of a season of life? And they just totally quit and they give up. Folks, for your pastor, that breaks my heart. Listen, I love you, and I love this church. And this area needs some serious, serious work, folks. We're here to take this area in the name of Jesus. We're here to take this region and work the kingdom of God and kingdom of light to overtake darkness. There are so many people who come and they join and they get it, and then they hit a wall and they quit. Come on! Folks, every one of us could raise our hand and say, I know one, I know somebody, I know somebody, I know one, I know somebody. And that should break our hearts. Come on, two places this morning, please. Luke 8 and James 1, you can turn to Luke 8. Put a marker in James 1. Turn to James 1 first, please. We'll be there in a minute. James 1 and then Luke 8. James 1 and we'll start at Luke 8. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this series. God, I pray the opening of this series, God, that you would just rearrange, that you would enlighten our hearts in this series. That God, starting now, today, you know the condition of every heart that's in these seats. That we walk out of this place different. Already have come into your presence. Already, God, we've cried out to you for our lives. We already walk out different after being in your presence. Powerful this morning. But God, in the reading of your word, God, I'm asking that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart today. God, that we will not be the same when we leave this place. Our faith will be increased. Our faith will arise. You will build our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing your word. This morning, God, allow us to hear your word. Open our eyes to see what we need to see. God, open our ears to hear exactly what you would need. Every individual pinpointed our hearts this morning to hear what we need to hear. Father, we are so hungry. We are longing for truth, longing for your word. Father, speak to us. Speak to us this morning by your word. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, I need a word this morning. God, speak to me today. God, enlighten the eyes of my heart. Speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, Luke 8. Jesus is going over a parable. He begins to speak. Verse 5 says this, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road. Verse 6, some fell by the rocky soil. Verse 7, some fell by the thorns. Verse 8, some fell on good soil. Now look at this. The sower went out to sow his seed. You got to understand this. Listen, Jesus is teaching this parable, and we see it's the same sower, it's the same seed, it's the same time. The same sower throwing the exact same seed, okay, at the same time. Same sower, same seed, same time, completely different results depending upon the soil. You got to get this. This is huge. This has everything to do with consistency. This, if you are considered to be of good soil, we're going to read this in a minute. When you recognize that the seed fell, it took root, there's a foundation, it's growing up, my faith is strong. You know what the Bible says that good fruit needs? It's consistency. It needs a steadfastness. That I will not quit, I will not give up, I will hold on. We'll get this. Come on, look at this. Verse 11 says this. And he teaches this. The disciples come, ask him questions. What on earth are you talking about? Verse 11, he says this, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, folks. You got to understand something. Every week we come in here and we plant seed week after week at home group. We plant seed during the week at breakaway. We're planting seed all through. Everything that we do is planting seed. When you are at home, opening your scriptures for your family, for your husband, your wife, your kids. You are planting seed. Every time you open your word, you're planting seed. Every time you go into your devotion time in the morning, I hope, gang, get consistent in your reading the word. Get consistent in your time before the Lord, day after day after day. I give him my first. I get up in the morning, I'm on my face. Even before, it is a miracle. It is before my first cup of coffee that I give him my first. Folks, that's huge. I hope God recognizes how huge that is. Every time you open the word, folks, you're planting seed. When you are at your workplace, in your cubicle, wherever you may be, and you begin to speak the gospel, you begin to speak the truth, guess what? You're planting seed. For what the seed is, the word of God. And those beside the road, those who have heard, highlight have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Verse 13, those on the rocky soil, highlight rocky soil, those who when they hear, highlight they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root, highlight that. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. In a time of temptation, they fall. Why is it that they fall away? No consistency, no perseverance. No steadfastness. You gotta understand this, folks. They receive the word, shallow ground. It never takes a foundation within their heart. They go in, they receive it with joy. Time of temptation takes place. A time of testing of their faith, folks. And they ditch it. Because there's no consistency. The seed fell among the thorns. And these are the ones who have heard. Highlight have heard. Every time is the same. Seed is sown, they all hear. First one, that is garbage. The Bible says the devil comes. He is a false accuser, folks. He is the deceiver. That's what that means. He comes and snatches that seed from that hard heart. Say, listen, that is totally not. You guys are crazy. I don't know why you believe that. That is nuts. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live. Listen, what you die, you die. There's no afterlife. You guys are nuts to believe that. Those are the ones the seed falls on and they just say, I refuse, man. That's it. Now look at this, the third one. The seed fell among the thorns, and these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way are choked with the worries and the riches and pleasures of this life, and it brings no fruit to maturity. Folks, they have banked on all the temporary things. They have banked on this life. They have banked on their riches. They have banked on the pleasures of what they get out of it here and now. It is a temporary deal. And they literally have no biblical godly fruit. Because they banked on the temporary. Now look at this, fourth seed. But the seed in the good soil. The seed that falls on the good soil. These are the ones who have heard. All four here. Hear the word. In an honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. That's the ground that is of the good soil. An honest and good heart. And, look at this, and, highlight and. Hold it fast. And bear fruit with what? Perseverance. With what? Consistency. With what? Steadfastness. With what? This complete mentality of I will not quit. I will not give up. Folks, these are the ones that have that honest and good heart. These are the good soil. When they receive it, they understand it with a good heart. Folks, look at this. With what? And they hold it fast. Hold it. What's the it? The Word of God. That's the seed that was sown. And they hold the seed. They hold the word fast, folks. Point number one of this message is this. Please get this. Write this down. If you're not taking notes, take notes. This is great. Come on. Look at this. Point number one is this. Secure your position, folks. When you recognize, this is a powerful statement, hold it fast. Write this down. Hold it fast. You know what that means? When you're holding the Word of God fast, that means you have secured your position to the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. When you secure your position to the Word, you know what else this means? This is amazing. When you begin to study what it means to secure your position, when you begin to study what he's talking about, holding it fast with perseverance, holding it fast with consistency, holding the Word of God fast, with a steadfastness. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Folks, another definition of this is when the big ships are out sailing and the winds come and the storms come and they come to this place where they just get a glimpse of the shore. This is what it means, that they are holding on to the steering of that boat with everything they can, and they are heading towards the shore. They see a glimpse of the shore. The wind has come. The rain has come. The waves have come. What would it be like if they just let go of the steering wheel? Would they have any chance of getting to the shore? Folks, this is, they have to hold it fast. They have to secure their position on that wheel and head towards the shore amongst the wind, amongst the storm, amongst the waves, and they're holding on to that wheel. And they're holding on the steering of that ship. They see the shore and they are pinpointing everything they've got to get that ship to shore. If they let go of that wheel, folks, they are at the mercy of the waves and the wind. What about our life, folks? There are seasons in your life that you just got to hold on to the wheel, and you've got to hold it fast with everything in you. Because if you just quit, you don't know what it means to persevere. You don't know what it means to be steadfast. You don't know what it means to be consistent. You don't know what it means to secure your position in the Word. The waves of life are just going to destroy you, folks. And your season of life and your circumstance you go through is going to take you wherever it wants. The Bible says that leads to destruction. Look at this. And you hold it fast and you bear fruit with perseverance. Folks, can you are in this walk. When you begin to walk the walk, and you recognize what it is to walk with Jesus, folks, that takes perseverance. That takes a consistency. That takes you at times being so steadfast and immovable, banking and trusting, not in your circumstance, but in the Word of God, knowing, God, you said that you're with me in this. God, even if somebody I love loses a life, God, you said you're in me in this. You're with me in this. God, I'm going to trust in you. God, I'm banking that your word is true. God, I know that you can bring a peace amongst craziness. God, you can bring joy amongst sorrow. God, there's something in me, God, that can deep down in and reach up and say, my faith will arise and my faith will increase in this. And God, I am holding your word fast. My position is secure. And I see the shore, God, and I'm holding on with everything I've got to get to the shore. Folks, that's powerful. The seed that falls on good soil, that heart is one who understands what it is to be consistent. Well, I know somebody who, you know, they've been following Jesus for several years, and then they follow off. Folks, Judas was a fake for 3 years, folks. Walked with those who should have had discernment. Walked with the King of Kings himself, walked with 11 others, and it was a shock. When Jesus said, one of you is a traitor, one of you is a, they're looking at each other going, oh, him, who, me, what, who? Folks, when you look at a life, I look at the whole life, and I look at a consistency, and I look at a perseverance, and I look at one who's gone through trials, and their faith has been tested, and it's been tried, and it's been true. Come on, James 1, please. Number one, you got to secure your position. Number two is this. I want you to see this. James 1 says this. James, a bondservant. Highlight that, please. A bondservant of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle Lord in this. There's a point, man. This is huge. To the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy. Listen. I have not yet ever heard that this is somebody's favorite passage in all the Scripture. This is great. I am going through a trial. I'm going through it. This is awesome. I love this passage where I'm supposed to jump for joy and consider it awesome that I'm going through the worst season of my life. Whoo! I mean, gang, I, as a pastor, maybe it is your favorite. Huh? God bless you. But it is, I've never heard that before. But here you've got James saying we are to consider it all joy. And there's a serious point to why you and I are to consider it joyful to encounter various trials, temptations, seasons of life, circumstances that come against us, things that are happening within our lives that cause us to come to this place to test your faith. Huge. You got to understand something about James. Why does he have a right? Who is James? James is the half-brother of Jesus. Why does he have a right? What trials did he go through? What on earth does James know anything about trials? Listen, James was like the first pastor of the Jerusalem church. James, in AD 62, was stoned to death, according to history, because of persecution, because of trials, because of his hard days, because of his trust and belief in preaching that Jesus is Lord. James, the half-brother of Jesus, folks. Could you imagine his life being the half-brother of Jesus? Walking with Jesus. We don't know when James was specifically born, but let's 30 years, whatever. How many years he walked with Jesus? How many years that he spent time with Christ in the dinner table? Around the house, doing chores, like working in the shop as a carpenter. I mean, could you imagine here, James has a nature of sin. Jesus has zero nature of sin. Jesus walked in perfection. Jesus always answered mom. Jesus was never late for dinner. Jesus was the best carpenter shop. Jesus never called in sick. Jesus was never late for work. Jesus, who knew all things. I mean, could you imagine living in that house? That'd be awful, folks. I mean, so you think about this. Listen, Jesus had four brothers and a couple sisters. You could imagine them living in this house with who always answers mom, who's always respectful, always, he volunteers to do the dishes. Who volunteers to do the dishes? What is wrong with this guy? Man, he's making us look bad. Well, that's living with Jesus, folks. And you go in and you see Jesus begins his ministry. You know where his opposition came from? His kinsmanship, his brothers, his family. Mark 3 said that they tried to take custody of Jesus. Folks, me being a cop, when I take custody of somebody, that's a bad day for them. Bible says his family tried to take custody of him because they thought he was crazy. His brothers, James. Luke 6, Jesus says, I can't even go to my hometown. I can't even be in my own house with my brothers. And they have zero honor for me. John 7 is amazing. John 7 says that Jesus was walking through Galilee and he refused to go to Judea because the Jews were wanting to kill him in Judea. You know what, like, the verse after that, two verses down, it says, his brothers thought it would be a good idea that he went to Judea. And then Jesus says, even my own brothers don't believe in me. John 19, folks. Jesus hanging on a cross. He's got, from what the word says, four brothers and sisters. Who did he give care for? To his mother too. John the disciple. And not even one of his half-brothers. Folks, they thought he was crazy. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 7 tells us that after Jesus was raised from the dead, that he appeared to over 500 people. And he met with James. Think about that. God makes a point in his word to tell us. Jesus met with 500, and then he pinpointed, man, he was after one, and he met with James. Folks, there was an encounter that the risen Lord, there was a time when Jesus met with his half-brother James. He said, James, would you see this? James, would you look at this, please? James, you saw me on the cross. You saw me in my life. You saw me in my days of ministry. James, you saw what they did to me. But look, James, could you imagine? I could just see Jesus wrapping his arms around James and them taking a walk. Here, the risen King, the risen Messiah, the risen Lord holds in his hands where he's going, James, please look at this. I'm so much more than your half-brother. James, I am exactly who I said I was. I am the Messiah. James, I've returned. James, look at this. Something, there is a flip somewhere in James. When he writes this book, I see nowhere that he mentions him as a half-brother, but I see in the very first sentence, he mentions him as his Lord. You would imagine Jerusalem hated Jesus. And James plants himself right in the middle of Jerusalem to start a church. You could imagine the persecution. You could imagine the hate mail. You could imagine his trials and his circumstances where he recognized that Christ is the Lord. And he plants himself right in the midst of craziness to start a church. And in AD 62, it cost him his life. So folks, when you see this, consider it all joy. When you encounter, there is no if there. When you encounter various trials, when you go through seasons of life, when you are being persecuted because you are not ashamed of the truth, when your world has been flipped upside down, when you are tempted, when, not if. Folks, James was able to bite into this thing because of who he was and what he went through. What is the joy that he's talking about, folks? Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials or temptations or seasons of life or circumstances where we're walking one way and the world around us is flipped upside down. Folks, there is something to consistency. There is something to perseverance. There is something to endurance. This is another word that imitates consistency. We have to endure. There are times we have to fight, folks. There are times, listen, my son was a wrestler. Injury took him out of wrestling. But there were times, even when he first started wrestling, the coaches would come to us and say, there is fight in this kid. There is something in this kid that if you keep him on a wrestling mat, he's gonna be superior. This is what the coaches said to us. You know what they saw in Carter when he's this big and he's starting to wrestle? He refused to get pinned. He would be, he's wrestling, people have been wrestling for years, and like in the first 3 seconds, they know how to get him on his back. And as a parent, you're like, oh, this is the worst. But he would fight, they couldn't pin him. And the coaches saw this, if he can't get pinned and he is persevering and he is fighting on his back with everything in him not to be pinned, when he learns to wrestle, he is going to be just crazy on the mat. Folks, there are times that we are on our back. And there are times that we have to fight and we have to fight and we have to fight and we refuse to be pinned. Because when we learn and when we increase in our faith, folks, those seasons we walk in extreme victory. People say, well, you know, Carter lost, and I hope, you know, he's brand new at this thing, and I'm looking at that as a total victory that he fought and he fought and he fought and he persevered and he refused to be pinned. As a parent, that is like, man, this is his first year. Oh, you just wait. You just wait. That is a total victory to see the fight. Folks, there are times in life that we are on our back and our shoulder is this close and we feel like we are going to, and we fight and we fight and we fight. And in that fight, there is victory. Because when you see your faith begin to increase, when you see your faith begin to rise up, folks, then we walk in extreme victory. Look at this. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Isn't it amazing, folks? That the Bible tells us, that James tells us, consider it joy when you go through various trials. For in those various trials, your faith will be tested. And when your faith comes out on top and you walk in victory, you understand what it is to endure. Look at this. This is what he's saying. There is great reward, folks, in this. We have to look for the opportunities for our faith to be tested. We don't know where we're at until you're tested, folks. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, please, I want you to see this. This is huge. For we have need of endurance. Folks, as we walk in this faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in our walk with Jesus, the Bible says one of the ingredients you need for your faith is to understand what it is to be consistent. Understand what it is to persevere. Understand what it is. You need endurance. Well, you know the way you get endurance? As you go through seasons of life. That's how you learn endurance, folks. So the ingredient that you need comes through rough seasons in life. The ingredient that you need comes when your faith is tested. The ingredient that you need comes from your hardship and your hard circumstances. When you encounter various trials, you need to have endurance. And the only way to build up that endurance is to go through things in life. Without quitting, folks. Without quitting. It breaks for people who come to faith and they hit a wall. And they've been bought into some lie that your walk with Christ is supposed to be lollipops and gumdrops and just piece of cake for you, and you're never going to struggle, never going to. And it's just like, what are you teaching these people? The Bible says you will go through seasons of life. The Bible says you will have circumstances. The Bible says at times your world will be flipped upside down. At times you're going to be going through things that you never saw coming. And in those moments, cannot quit. In those moments, we must persevere. In those moments, we must overcome. In those moments, we've got to be consistent in holding it, the Word of God, fast in our lives. Look at this. For you have to need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, look at this. He who is coming, this was 2,000 years ago, folks. He who is coming will come. That's Christ. That's our King. And he will not delay. There is a day that Jesus will return. And he will not delay. In his perfect timing, he will come, folks. Now look at this. For he who is coming will come. He will not delay. But in the meantime, this is what he says. My righteous ones shall live by faith. Folks, we have got to be consistent in our faith. If Christ were to return in our lifetime, in this generation, look what he says. But my righteous ones, these are the ones who have called me, the ones who are righteous right before God. Those are ones who have to live by faith. For look at the result of this. If he shrinks back, if he falls away, if he's not consistent, if he doesn't persevere, look what it says. My soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering, to the consistency, to the enduring, to the steadfastness of the soul. Folks, there are days when it talks about soul, it talks about digging deep. There are days in our walk, and there are days in this walk that we have with the Lord that you have to dig deep into your soul, and you have to cement yourself in, and you've got to go deep, and you've got to dig deep and not be moved. Because that's what he says. But of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul, you have to be so consistent right down to the deepest root of your souls, folks. Look at the result of this persevering. Again, why does James get to say, count it all joy? And let the endurance have its perfect result. Have that consistency. Brennan, you come up. Have that endurance have its perfect. Isn't it amazing that God says there's a perfect result when you go through your trial? It is to be perfect, mature, lacking in nothing. Perfect, mature, lacking in nothing. The word perfect here, it means to mature. It means to grow. Isn't it amazing that the joy of going through a season means that my faith is going to be stronger at the end of it than it is when I'm going through it? Folks, faith being such a huge ingredient, the ingredient to our walk, isn't it amazing that the ingredient can increase in your worst season of life? And James says we should consider that joy. It says that we can be complete. That word complete, it means entire, or it means whole. And he says we will lack in nothing. Could you imagine when your faith gets to a place after you have gone through seasons of life, gone through the circumstances of life, and you come to that place to be maturing and growing. You come to that place to be whole. And then you come to that place where you lack in nothing. Where you walk in this life. And you can live Psalm 46. When your faith has arisen to a place where even in the worst circumstance of life, you can be still Because of what you faced, you can be still. Because of passing the test of faith earlier, because you have built up your endurance, because you have built up perseverance, because I have gone through all of this and I face something today, no matter what, I have the ability to be still and to know that He is God because of what He's already brought me through. Folks, that is being perfect, mature, lacking in nothing. When your faith comes to a place to rise up, when your faith comes to a place that when you face things and you go through circumstance in life and the world is turned upside down, that you can walk in peace and you can count it all joy because you know the end result. One that perfects you, one that matures you, one that grows you, one that when your faith arises, you can be still in peace and know that God is God. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, your word is so powerful. God, your word is so powerful. Father, I pray that our faith would rise up. God, I pray for people who are on this teeter-totter and they're just going back and forth. God, they will not quit. Galatians 6:9 says, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart in doing good. Hear this. Do not lose heart in doing good. For in due season you shall reap. You shall reap if you don't grow weary. That's a powerful word. It screams, don't quit. It screams, don't give up. It screams, persevere. It screams, hold it fast. Hold the wheel. Don't let it go. Do not grow weary, it says. Do not lose heart. Powerful. If you don't grow weary. Folks, there is great reward in perseverance. There is great reward to consistency. Father, help us. Help us to grip this morning. Father, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit that you would seal the deal in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand up, please.
Christ is my reward. All of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that can ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will see no turning back. I've been set free. And this hope will never fail, for heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Oh, everything I need is in you. Oh, everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Christ is in love for me. Everything I need is in you. Oh, everything I need.
Amen. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time in your word. Thank you that, God, that no matter what, you are always here for us, that your love never changes, that your love never fails. God, that you always stay the same. And anytime we call on you, God, you are there for us. And help us to remember that in the storms, that in the trials, to look for things that you're trying to grow us in, God. Look for areas that we need growth in. And to look for you and your love and your truth above all else in those times, God. And not to run away, but to go head on. And praise you while we are in the storm. Praise you in the trials, God. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for what you have done this morning by your Holy Spirit. We bless you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name.